guys look beautiful, just beautiful. It's wonderful to be back up here today, and you said so do I. Thank you. Because I am under construction in my home, so I don't know if you've ever had anything redone or constructed or anything like that, but it's horrible, okay? So we have bedrooms on one side of the house and bedrooms on the other side of the house, and in the middle, we have our living area, the kitchen and the family room and all that. So we wanted to make the living area a little bit bigger, like 6 feet. So it required taking the roof off the whole middle of the house. So I don't have any kitchen, and since I am having all these hot flashes and there's no air conditioning, me and the kids are in the RV for the kitchen and to sleep, but then my clothes are over there. So, and now they dug up all the cement in between and you gotta trudge through the dirt, and you know we had the rainstorm yesterday. So I'm getting ready for today and I'm like, well, I wanted to wear this. Oh, but those shoes are over there. And then you gotta go to the bathroom over here. You gotta go eat over here. I'm just like, you get what you see. I'm sorry. So we're talking about matters of the heart. And, you know, what I've been going through, anybody ever been going through? You know, I think all of us, because even Jesus went through, right? And the Bible says we're going to go through trials of various kinds. They're coming. But we got to count it all joy. So easier said than done. You know, you guys are like, yeah, amen, count it all joy. I love trials. You know that's not true. What's the best part about going through something? Going on, passing on through. You don't camp out there. You don't sleep there. You're moving right along, right? That's the best part. Nobody likes it in the valley. Amen? So a lot of times as you're going through as a Christian, you start thinking about, well, I need my armor, right? And you are in the midst of a trial, and you got your sword of the Spirit. And now your arm is a little bit tired of holding it up. Can I get a witness? I know this isn't just me, but, you know, we get up here and we preach the word of God and we try to be transparent before you guys. And sometimes it's not easy. You know, you try to hold up your sword of the Spirit and your arm is weary. First thing you need to do is go get somebody who knows how to pray. I think Pastor Jess or Pastor Eleanor were saying today, have them hold up your arm. You still got to speak the word of God. Amen. Your breastplate, it's been hit so many times, it's all dinged up, it's not even shiny anymore. This is how you're feeling, right? Your feet that are supposed to be shod with the preparation of peace so you can go through the world and preach the gospel and tell them the truth of Jesus. Your soles are worn, you know, your feet hurting, and you just get battle weary. Can I get an amen? And this is how you're feeling. But what does the word of God say? You know, we feel like the sword is so heavy that we're all dinged up, our feet are hurting, and we're tired, but the word of God says you can do this thing, that the battle's not yours. He just tells you to stand there. And a lot of times, you know, we think that standing is just doing nothing. You know, but if you ever ran a marathon or you did anything that was strenuous, you don't want to go home and stand. What do you want to do? You want to sit. He doesn't tell you to sit on your butt and do nothing. He tells you to stand. So many of you know I'm a medical doctor. So standing requires a lot. If you've ever stood for a long time, if you had a job where you had to stand up at a counter or anything, what starts hurting? Your feet hurt. What else? Your back hurts because you're using all the muscles along your spine because you tilt forward, you tilt backwards. You got to keep your balance. Your feet hurt because you're using all those muscles and all those bones to stand up. Your legs start hurting, your knees start hurting, everything. Standing is very active, right? And, you know, when a trial comes, the first thing that you do is you go immediately to fear. That you get a bad report for the doctor. You find out your husband is cheating. You find out, you realize you don't have money to pay this bill. You hear about an accident your son or daughter was in. Whatever. The first thing that happens is fear. Am I right? Yes. So I was looking, you know, as we're doing all this construction, my little cat, she is just frantic. There's noises, there's drilling, and she just will come out. And if she hears a noise that is unfamiliar, which everything, she freezes. All you see is their ears going like, where's the danger? Where's the danger? Should I run? And that's what fear does, is it immobilizes us, okay? So you find out something bad or something happens bad, and immediately fear comes. You know how many times the Bible says, fear not, do not fear, do not be afraid, because it comes, okay? And so you have to realize that God is not giving you a spirit of fear, right? So it's not of God. He's giving you a spirit of love, power, and self-control. So you have to immediately cast down this fear, this tendency to run, this tendency to hide, and you have to stand. Using all your muscles and everything in your body, you have to stand. You have to get warriors to help you hold up your sword. You have to realize that this thought process that you're dinged up and your shoes are worn and your sword is dull is only in your mind, and you are fully able to fight the battle. So we are a three-part being. We have a body, and we have a spirit and a soul. Amen? So the mind is our soul. It's our will, our emotions, our motives, our desires, our thought processes, right? And there's this battle all the time between what we think, what we feel, how we respond to a situation, and our spirit man, which is lined up with God. Now that we are born again in communion with God, there's this battle between this old man and how this old man feels, all dinged up, battled up, beat up, getting a snot kicked out of us by the devil. Untruth to the word of God, which says, I can do all things through Christ. I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. Amen? So there's this battle between your soulish realm, your thinking, your mind, your heart. You know, because the Bible many times will say your heart, your inner man, your inner being, you know, that person that makes you who you are, and your spirit man. So we want to create these spiritual giants instead of relying on our flesh. Matters of the heart. So turn to Romans 10, verse 8, which we all know very well. But turn there for a minute. Because God really puts a big emphasis on the heart. You know, even for salvation. In verse 8 it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your where? Heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So God realizes that the heart is the obstacle that is keeping you from accepting him as Lord and Savior. Amen? It's your mind. It's your people who do not want Jesus right now. Their thought process is like, how can I believe in a God that I cannot see? Their mind is holding them back from realizing that it's a step of faith, that he's there. That if they think about the birds of the air and the trees and nature, they see that there is a creator. But their mind, their thoughts, their soulish realm is keeping them back. Amen? So, but the heart is an important thing, and God realizes we have to overcome that. Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. That's not it. let's see. Oh, because I'm in Mark. That is it. That's it. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 5, if we start at verse 21, it talks about, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. You go to verse 22, but I say to you. Is that in red in your Bible? So this is Jesus talking, right? So he's saying, you've heard of this law, this commandment, right? But he's saying, I'm changing that to a matter of the heart. What's more important than keeping this law about murder, that I say to you, whoever is angry, a matter of the heart. Amen? Look down at verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, do not commit adultery. Verse 28, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust, a matter of the heart. Amen? Verse 31, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, but I say to you, verse 33, you have heard, you shall not swear, verse 34, but I say to you. So he's saying, you've been keeping all these laws, this has been told to you all your time growing up, but I'm saying a new thing. I'm saying that whoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart, If you can get past your thinking, your mind, your emotions, what you're feeling about this matter, this is what pleases me. Amen? Turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And I sent these verses to Pastor Eleanor. I know whoever's doing the overhead, I apologize. They're all out of order because I'm just kind of going with the flow. But I had to send something, so hopefully you get something up there. And she's like, you got a lot of verses. And I'm like, you know, I can't get away from the Word of God. I try to, because I'm intellectual, I like to make my point, so you cannot deny that what I'm saying is the truth, that you can take it, that you can study it, that you can put it in your heart, past your mind, past your thinking, past everything, and make it real to you. So I apologize, we're doing a Bible study, but 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He cares about the heart. One more scripture. 1 Peter 3:3. Not for the day, but for right now. 1 Peter 3:3. Might have heard this scripture being said a lot in Pentecostal churches and Holy Ghost churches, taken out of context, but let's look what it says in 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Are you with me?
Yes.
It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You might have heard people speak on this and say, well, we shouldn't arrange our hair. Please don't let that be so. Please comb your hair. Don't come out here looking like that, wearing gold. Well, if he was talking about not combing your hair, wearing gold, it also says don't put on fine apparel, so don't come out naked, right? So it can't be taught. It's saying don't let that be the focus. Let the focus be the inner man, your heart, okay? So as I'm going through the battles, and I've been going through a lot of stuff, okay? There's other words to say it, but it's just stuff. And I had to, whenever I find myself going through things, I go back to the basics. And I said, let me do a heart check, okay? Because obviously if I'm going through all this and I'm feeling weary in the battle, I must have an issue with my thinking, with my thoughts, that and I know that I'm able to fight this battle. I know that the victory is already mine. So the problem lies in my heart, in my intellect, in my soulish realm, because my spirit man should be strong enough to battle this, okay? So I asked myself a couple things to do my heart checkup. And you can just, it's three questions. I failed the test, but I'm gonna tell you how to pass it, okay? The first question is, what was I speaking? What am I saying out of my mouth? Okay, turn to Luke 6, 45. Luke 6, 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if I really believe the word of God and I really believe that his words do not return to me void, then I should be speaking his word and watching it come to pass. Amen? But if, since out of the abundance of my heart is what the mouth speaks, if I'm speaking negative, if I'm speaking doubt and unbelief, I must not really believe in my heart. So a lot of times we get a bad rap to God. I've been praying, I've been believing, you know, I've been confessing. And then we forget, when we're not on our knees, what are we saying? You know, and we don't realize that really, we don't really believe in our heart. Amen? Mother Teresa says, every word that doesn't increase the light of God contributes to the darkness. We need to watch what we say. The Bible says, don't speak idle words. Don't speak idle words. Don't gossip. Don't talk about things that don't matter. only speak the word of God and speak truth, okay? So I failed that one because I realized a lot of times I was speaking the problem. And I'm telling this friend about the problem to pray, but I'm speaking negative. And I'm telling this person about the problem, and I'm talking about the problem, and I'm talking about the problem, and I'm talking about the problem, I'm talking about the problem, instead of the solution, which is God's word. Instead of saying, God's got this, he's got my back, I'm already victorious in this matter, I'm speaking the problem. So I had to watch what I said. I said, oh, I have a sickness in my heart, right? The second thing is, so we said, what are you saying? What am I speaking, right? So what am I thinking? You know, the heart is our intellect, our thoughts, the thing that prevented us from salvation because we're thinking, you know, how can we serve this God that we can't see? Turn to Jeremiah 17:9. Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, in the Old Testament. Chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now turn back a couple of chapters to Psalm 44. The heart is deceitful. You know, the Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. We are born into this sinful nature. The rod of correction is going to, I don't know why, somebody needed that. The rod of correction drives it from them, amen? Psalm 44, verse 21, it says, God, would not God search this out, for he knows the secrets of the heart. So you can hide from us. You can fool some of the people some of the time, most of the people most of the time, but you cannot fool God. He knows your heart. You know, you can get up here and act a certain way with us, and we don't know, but God knows. Amen? So here's my little object lesson for today. So this is what I had the most of in my pantry, because my daughter Jenna loves black beans, okay? So if these cans represent the people in the church, everybody has a label that says black beans. This one thinks that they're blending in because they are canned, but this says green beans. But we don't really see it that good because it's still a can, right? And when you look at that green bean can, it's empty. All right? And this one says black beans just like these, but when you open it up, it's green beans. So you can fool some people and fit right into the congregation because the label and what you're portraying yourself as does not matter. It's what's in the heart. So you're calling yourself a Christian. Oh, this hurts. I'm sorry. But what this is enabling you to do is to fight the battle and win. It's time out for playing games. Amen? If you're sitting there and I'm tired of people giving our God a bad rap, if you're calling yourself a can of black beans, then be black beans, not green beans. Amen? Don't be empty. Have something in there worth some substance, and that's the word of God. All right. So we said, what are you saying? What are you thinking? And are you living a victorious life? Is there an area of your life where you're getting the snot beat out of you by the devil? Turn to Mark 11:23. Mark chapter 11. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he say will be done, he will have whatever he says. So if you speak to the mountain and tell it to move, and you do not doubt in your where? In your heart. So if you are being beat up by the devil in an area of your life, the Word of God says you can speak to that obstacle in your path and command it to move, and it should move if you do not doubt in your heart. So God's word doesn't return void. He is not a man that he should lie. So if you're speaking to the situation and you don't see mountains moving, what's the problem? You got a problem with your heart. So don't raise your hand if you failed the checkup. But this is what you do when you face a trial. You make sure what you're saying, what you're thinking, and is there an area where you're not victorious? Because God says we had the victory. We know how the story ends. We win. Amen? Turn to Proverbs 20:27. And like I said, you just have to get some of what he's been dealing with me. I don't mean to beat you up today, but I feel like God has given me the victory. I'm still going through the same mess, but I have the victory. Amen? Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." The spirit of man, we're body, soul, and spirit. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So the Lord is using our spirits to shine lights on dark areas in our heart that we don't really want to see. It's not a fun thing. You know, you have something in the dark area of your heart, you don't want the light of God, and this is what the Word of God does, shining a light on it and exposing it. But this is how you get the victory. This is how you know, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? And the only way you can be transformed is first realize you have an issue and then deal with the issue. So your spirit man is God's light and is shining in your heart and showing you areas that you need to just work on that. This is why you don't have the victory right here. This is what you're speaking right here. This is what you're doing right here, right? All right, so in Proverbs 4:23, it tells us we need to guard our hearts. We need to keep our hearts, for out of it springs everything. Now, I'm an ER physician by nature, and I tell you, in the emergency department, you see all kinds of stuff. I should write a book. It would probably, you know, they got all these shows because everybody's all interested in what happens in the ER, and there's all kinds of love stories going on, triangles, and all kinds of stuff. All true, all totally and completely true. Okay, but the emergency physician, our training is so that we can handle like the first 4 to 5 hours of any emergency. So we deal with people having a heart attack. We deal when you run into a glass and cut your arm, we have to sew it up. You don't make it up to labor and delivery in time and you're having a baby, we deliver the baby. You can't breathe, you're having an asthma attack, we help you to breathe until you can get treated and get upstairs, right? But God is saying today, you don't have to have that kind of medical training because he's going to teach us how to do heart surgery, okay? Because we have an issue with our heart, so we need some surgery. Bible says, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16. If you didn't bring your Bible today, you're in trouble. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, "We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day." The outward man is perishing. So true. The older you get, you realize, you know, you need more of elastic garments to keep you shapely. You need more things lifted. You know, the way to make money in today's society is do something about the body, right? You got the personal trainers making the bank. We got the gyms. We got Botox. We got injections to fill this wrinkle and that wrinkle and something to paralyze this side so it doesn't wrinkle, and we're pulling stuff tight and we're lifting stuff up, we're adding stuff and tucking it and doing all kinds of stuff, and they making bank more so now than ever before because we are in this materialistic world and we are majorly influenced by it. You know, we look at TV, we look at commercials, we look at magazines, and we see these girls that have been totally photoshopped, that are not real, and they just look gorgeous. And we have this ideal picture that we need to be like a size 4, you know, and be all curvy and not have a blemish on our face, and, you know, our hair needs to be a certain way. And so we're spending all this money. If it's straight, we're getting it crimped. And if it's crimped, we wanted it ironed. And if, you know, if our eyes are blue and we want them brown, we're getting contact lenses. And our butt's not big enough, we're getting booty implants and breast lifts and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is the outward man is doing what? It's perishing. You could keep trying for as long as you keep on trying. And I'm not saying don't fix it up, because we don't want to see you all hanging down, droopy looking. We want you beautiful. But I'm saying don't let this materialistic world influence your idea of what beautiful is. You are beautiful because of your inner man. You are beautiful because of who you are. And if some major catastrophe happened to destroy your face, the people that know you and the people that love you would still know you and love you, because this is not who you are. It's inside. And that's where your beauty lies. Amen. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We already read that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, and it's exposing those dark areas. Now we're hearing that the way to separate our spirit and our soul is through using the word of God. So now we're about to do surgery. Anybody in here had surgery, you know, they have a pre-op plan for you, right? And usually it's the unfun part of not eating. You're going to have surgery in the morning. It's like, don't eat or drink after midnight. Don't take your medicines. You know, you're going to have surgery in the morning. Okay? And they call that being NPO. Nothing by mouth, nothing per orum. Okay? Don't eat. Zip it. All right, because you're going to go under anesthesia. They're going to put you on a machine. They don't want you to throw up anything. They want your stomach empty. All right? So we too, when we're in the midst of this trial and we have to have heart surgery, a lot of times one of the best things to do is to fast, you know, because what fasting does is it takes your focus off of your body, your flesh, that soulish realm, all these emotions and the way that you're feeling, and it puts your spirit man awake and alert so that you can focus on the word of God and you can focus on the things of God. Okay? So I found this little, I don't know how good this is going to work, but okay, so you have to listen to me, and you're not going to, all right, do this. Everybody in here, look around and try to find as many things in your head that are red that you can possibly have. Try to get a list of all red things. Look around. You're only looking at red. All right, when you get a lot of red things, all right, see something red, it could be red. I'm even gonna allow pink and orange, add that in there and get it all in your head, pink, red, or orange. Okay, stop, look at me. All right, I want you to close your eyes. Don't open your eyes until I tell you open your eyes. Everybody's eyes closed? You got that list in your head. Okay, I'm gonna distract you a little bit. I'm gonna say, what did you think about what you had for breakfast this morning? All right, you got that in your head. I'm going to ask you to think about what you're going to cook for dinner tonight. Your eyes are still closed, right? Yes. All right, now I'm going to ask you, what's your birthday? Think about that. And now I'm going to ask you to think back at your list of red. Keep your eyes closed. Now I want you to tell me what in this room is yellow. Keep your eyes closed. And you're like, she told us to think about red things. Now I want you to open your eyes and look for yellow. Now all of a sudden, when you're looking for yellow, you didn't see the yellow before, did you? Because your perspective, your mind was focused on red. But then when you open your eyes and you look for yellow, all of a sudden it comes alive and you're like, oh, there's yellow on the carpet, there's yellow on the sign, and you see it, right? Because when you are focused on the problem, that's all you see. You can't see past, you can't pass it to the word of God. You can't see, you know, any victory. You're just focused on the problem, and it'll tear you up. You know, when you're in a trial, you guys got a bad stomach, you know, it's just like you got headaches, you feeling like going to the bathroom, you know, you get hot flashes, you just, it's not cool, right? You can't stop crying every time you think about it because you can't be focused on the problem, right? You got to change your perspective. So the first thing you have to do when you're about to have surgery is to be nothing but mouth. Fast, take your focus off the problem and put your focus onto the things of God. Amen? You got to stop complaining. You got to stop being around exposing yourself to things you shouldn't be exposed to. All right? Now, for the surgery, there's 5 steps for the surgery. The first is you got to ask. Ask God. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." You know, I had a problem when I first came to the Lord with anger. And I just, you know, I don't know why, just as a defense mechanism, I grew up in a very rough school, and I just had to walk around looking mean so I wouldn't get the snot beat out of me, for real, literally. You know, not the devil, just as an analogy, beating me up. They won't beat me up, you know. And so I had to look, and I never fought a day in my life, but I had to look like I could take you and that you wouldn't mess with me, because it was that kind of school, right? And I went on through life because this is the pattern I was raised in, and also because I didn't have a lot of things, and so I felt like before you attacked me, before you saw my lack, or before you could hurt me, because I'd been hurt so much, I was going to be angry to you. If you looked at me wrong, I'm like, what are you looking at, you know? I just had an attitude, just not pleasant, not happy. But then I find Jesus, and I start learning about how you're supposed to be. I start learning that I'm supposed to have some fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. And I start asking God to change me. And, you know, you can't put your finger on the day or the moment, but he did it, okay? Where I can look at people and love you, where I don't feel so insecure, where I have to be angry. Okay, so the first step that you have to do is to ask God to help you to change your thought process, change your mind, change your emotions, change the way you're feeling all beat up in this battle, and to step in there and just change your heart, okay? So the first step is to ask. The second thing is to change your speech, all right? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. So it doesn't matter what you're looking at. You know, you're praying and you see nothing changing, you know? That doesn't matter. The word of God still works. God is still in control. You're still going to have the victory. But remember, we are on a finite space, and God has the entire universe in control. He sees the beginning from the end, and he's working it out, right? You remember when Jesus spoke to that fig tree and it wasn't bearing fruit and he cursed it? Nothing happened. They saw absolutely nothing. But as they're returning from the journey, that tree had withered. So even though they saw nothing in the ground, in the roots, it had happened. So in the spirit realm, when you pray, it's working. You know, when Daniel's prayer got held up, what, 21 days or something, right? Because he was battling in the spirit realm, fighting all kinds of things. Down here, you see nothing. But in the spirit realm, God's working it out. So you just have to keep the faith. Amen? So you're asking, you're changing what you say, walking by faith and not by sight and speaking the word, and you're working on kindness. Now you say, why that? Well, you know, we were praying this morning about all these people that are fleeing their country, that are about to be killed, babies being washed up on the beach, and I think a lot of people could not even relate because they're thinking about their own issues. Well, they're being washed up. That's happening. I don't know what I'm going to eat. And I don't know. And it's always about I. And until you can shift the focus, because God is what? He's love. Yes. If God is love, and he who has not love has not God. Yes. So God is love. And the minute, again, that you can shift your focus off of you and your problems and start thinking about God and his people that he loves, you're going to have the victory, and your heart's going to be mended. Your thinking's going to be mended. Your mind is going to be changed. Amen? Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." The fourth step is you have to watch your heart. You have to keep guard over it. You know, what kinds of things you think harden your heart? Have you ever been betrayed? you know, or had some unforgiveness issues, anger, had a death in the family, things didn't just quite work out the way you wanted them to work out, you know, you got a little bitter here. These kinds of things harden your heart, and you have to guard against these. In addition, you have to watch what you see, what you hear, and who you expose yourself to, because, you know, you watch just regular primetime TV, don't watch a Carl's Jr. commercial, amen? You know, these thoughts, and you definitely can't listen to some of the music, right? You have to really guard what you hear. You know, young people are saying, you know, well, I like the beat. I didn't really hear what it says, but you hear what it says. And they're saying all kinds of things about women, all kinds of things about sex. And you can't just fill your spirit, and fill your eyes and fill your ears with that and not think that it's not going to go into your inner man and damage your heart. So when you are in a trial, you have to surround yourself with the Word of God. You have to, if I could eat it, I would eat it. You know, I surround myself with friends that talk faith. I listen to scriptures on, and speaking of war room, that Patricia Schreier, who is the main character, Priscilla Schreier, she's a preaching machine, you know. And if you go on YouTube, listen to her or listen to, you know, Joyce Meyer or something. And as you're on the car radio, you know, put on some word there. Go to every service at church. Read your word. Look at it, you know, as much as you can get, you know, to guard your heart. And the last thing is to pray. Turn to Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. This is David's prayer, said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." If your heart needs mending, if your heart is troubled, you need to pray for a clean heart, and he'll give it to you. Amen? Turn to Ezekiel 36:26. Remember, we were in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Okay, Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So if your heart has been bruised and hurt and hardened, maybe by life circumstances, you feel like you got a raw deal, you know, and you're trying to change your speech. You know, don't stop saying things that disempower you, like, "Why me? What does that do? Why is this always happening to me? Why can't I just catch a break? I think it's so-and-so's fault." Those are words that disempower you. Change your speech to words that empower you. Pray to God that he will change and give you a new heart, and he will. He said, who asks God for something, he does not give it, right? What father, son asks his father for something, and the father doesn't give it. So preoperatively, you're going to stop everything that you're exposed to, that you're not supposed to be exposed to. You're going to fast and watch what you intake into your mouth, right? You're going to change your focus. The surgery is you're going to ask God. You're going to change your speech, realizing we're walking by faith and not by sight. You're going to work on kindness, amen, praying for others, reaching out. If you help somebody in their problem, all of a sudden your problem doesn't seem half as bad as it used to be. Be like, oh, they really need some Jesus, you know. That you're going to guard your heart, you know. You're going to watch against hardness, and you're going to watch what you see, what you hear, what you speak, who you expose yourself to. And you're going to pray that God will give you a clean heart, a new heart. So after you've had the surgery, you did the pre-op, now you had the surgery. Now, post-operatively, what do they tell you? Surgery usually hurts, right? So they're going to give you some pain medicine. They're going to tell you to maybe stay off of work 6 weeks, because you got to gradually increase your activity, okay? Here's your pain medicine, Proverbs 4:22. Turn to that real quick. Proverbs 4:22. Is that it? Let's go to 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So God's words are life and health. And this is the diet that you need to be eating postoperatively, okay? And you need to be gradually increasing your activity. That might mean that you may not be able to go to the gym as much as you want because you're increasing your activity in the Word of God. You're spending more time with God. It may mean you may not be able to volunteer in the ministries that you're volunteering in because you need to spend more time alone with God in your postoperative period for just a time, for a season, for you to get through this trial. Amen? And so you need to postoperatively just take it easy and feed on God's word, because that's what's going to be health. Charles Spurgeon says, good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you will remember when the forget-me-nots have withered. You know, that's a flower, right? Carve your name on hearts, not on marble. Make a difference in people's hearts because of the character that is within you. Character is important to God, and it should be important to us. So we need to make a decision today to change our soulish man, our hearts, our thoughts, to line up with our spirit man and speak the word of God. Because when we're able to do that, there is no devil in hell that can defeat us. When we, instead of feeling like we have a heavy sword and a beat up shield and shoes that are all broke down, realize that we are not fighting the battle, but we are right beside God and He's holding up our arms. When we know that the victory is ours because He already paid the price, then nothing can stop us. There is nothing that is impossible. Then we can truly speak to those mountains. When something's standing before you, when there's an obstacle, you can say, be cast into the sea. I don't doubt in my heart. My heart is healed. I believe that whatever I say, I shall have. And that God's word doesn't return void, that it's happening in the spirit realm. I don't walk by sight, but I walk by faith. So whether I see it or I don't see it, I know it's still happening. Amen. You know, we can stand on a scripture. You know, your kids are going south. So you find somebody that can pray with you, a believer, and you where two or more touch and agree, it shall be done. You get a scripture. It says, train up a child in Proverbs 22:7 in the way that they should go, and they will not depart. Amen. The Bible says, my children shall be taught of the Lord, disciples of God. Great shall be thy peace. You know, your finances aren't acting right. You know, you got to find a scripture that deals with finances. You know, my God shall supply all my needs, not just a few, you know, not just the rent when I can't pay the gas, but all my needs, you know, not just my wants, although He does say He will give us the desires of our heart. As long as your heart lines up with the word of God. So in closing, I was supposed to read these before, but I'm going to close. I found these jokes on hypocrisy. Because you don't want to be looking like a can of black beans and be either empty or have, you know, something else in there. If you call yourself a Christian, you want to have all the tools, right? It means we are of Christ-like character. It means that we are King's kids, that we're heir to the throne, right? We are the righteousness of God. The greater one lies inside of us. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Don't just talk the talk. Be up here crying at the altar. We got to walk the walk, people. We got to check our heart. Do that heart check. Stay in the word. Do the surgery. Have your period and get back into the swing of things till that trial passes, because it's going to pass. All right, here's my jokes. A minister was walking down the street when he came upon a group of about a dozen boys, all of them between 10 and 12 years of age. The group had surrounded a dog. Concerned that the boys were hurting the dog, the minister went over and said, "What are you doing with the dog?" One of the boys said, "This dog is a neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie, that person would get to keep the dog." The reverend said, "You boys shouldn't be having a contest telling lies." He went into a 10-minute sermon against lying. He said, "Don't you boys know it's a sin to lie?" And then he ended with, "Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." It was silence. Then the littlest boy, just when the reverend thought he had gotten through to them, the littlest boy gave a big sigh. He said, "All right, he wins. Give him the dog." Hypocrisy. You know, he can't talk the talk, and he's up there telling the lie, right? All right, here's the last one. Following a great sermon on lifestyle evangelism, one family thought they'd better do something to witness for Jesus. So they invited their neighbors to dinner the following Friday night. When it came to the meal, the hostess was very happy to show their neighbors that they upheld Christian standards in their home. So she asked little 5-year-old Johnny to say prayer. Little Johnny was a little bit shy. "I don't know what to say." There was an awkward pause, and then his mom's reassuring smile. And she said, "Darling, just say what Daddy said at breakfast." Obediently, the boy said, "Oh God, we've got those awful people coming to dinner tonight." You know, it is funny, but we have to be a people that are of character. Thoughts become words. It starts in your thinking. Words become your actions. Actions become habits. You can't even stop doing it. That's how we get drinking and smoking. Habits become your character, and character is going to become your destiny. We have to check our hearts. In matters of the heart, make sure that your heart lines up with the Word of God. Amen?